Good morning. Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Victoria this Sunday. In a spirit of gratitude and respect, we acknowledge the Wasainich First Nations on whose traditional land we gather. My name is Samantha, and I'm honored to serve as your worship associate this glorious, sunny, and a little chilly morning. This month, we have been exploring what it means to be a people of sanctuary, and today we're exploring sanctuary in the context of what we build here together. Here on this closing Sunday for the annual budget campaign, after reflecting on how we build sanctuary with our hearts, our diversity, we add our collective resources. This morning and every morning, all are welcome here. You are welcome here if you're here for the first time, the second time, here for the first time and, maybe a little while. Or if you're first time here, I have an echo. We have on the screen behind me, we're getting our closed captioning set up. But I suppose if you can't hear what I say the first time, the echo doesn't really help. So stay tuned as we try to pull that through. HDMI cables in this church are not always our friends. You are welcome here also if your first time here was before here was here, before we had this very building for our community to call home. I have a whole handful of announcements to share this morning. First of all, there are going to be programs for children and youth today, starting after the children's recessional song. For children or youth that want to stay in the sanctuary and want a quiet place to color, there will be coloring in the back of the sanctuary. At noon today, here in the sanctuary, we have the first of two sessions on truth and reconciliation, with the presenter being Dr. Martin Brokenleg, who has a doctorate in psychology and is a graduate of the Anglican Divinity School, and he'll be welcomed by Grace Blackwood. So the topic at noon is Why Don't They Get Over It? Intergenerational Trauma, covered by the residential school era. Now, if you are a newcomer and considering membership, this is kind of tough because they're also at 12 o'clock is a new members orientation in the farmhouse room. Both of these events will have some food as well, so you don't need to worry about running across the street to get some food. Whether you're going to be here in the sanctuary, in the farmhouse afterwards, or going off to your afternoon in this beautiful weather, make sure you vote for GVAT, Greater Victoria Acting Together. Our church will be deciding between this Sunday and next Sunday which priorities we're going to be suggesting for that initiative to work on. You'll be able to get dots for voting as you exit the sanctuary, and there will be posters for you to put your dots on in the Lion Hall. Now is the time to share your voice. We have an update on the annual budget campaign, and I'll ask Cressa to come show our thermometer. So far, we've received 104 pledges, totaling over $184,000. That's about 44% of the pledges and about 55% of the amount that we're fundraising for this year. So we're trying to wrap that up this week. We've got a little bit less than halfway to go, and we can do it. Hurrah! If you're like me and allergic to using paper, there is an online form. So thank you for everything you contribute to our community, and keep those pledges coming. After the service, everyone is also invited for coffee and tea in the Lion Hall. And I wonder if I missed anything. If you want to attend in the sanctuary, Dr. Brokenleg's talk and the discussion afterwards, or the newcomers orientation, child minding can be made available. So do let us know if that's something that you need. And with that, I will hand it over to Shauna for opening words.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be together this month of Sanctuary. It's wonderful to have with us our guest, Carmana, who is signing this morning's service. And we're working on the technical difficulties to also have captioning with us this morning, since our island Deaf and Hard of Hearing Center is our Share the Plate guests this month. This month of Sanctuary, we've been exploring what it means to be not only in a space that we call sanctuary, but to be sanctuary. And this morning, as we continue that exploration, we're going to think about what it means to be a community in every sense of that word. And so as we gather together in community this morning, I invite you to rise in body or spirit to join in our opening song. The words are printed in your order of worship. It is "Here Together." We've sung it together before. You may remember it. And I invite you to join in "Here Together." Cressa kindles the flame of our chalice, the flame of our faith, the fire of warmth and commitment and community. I invite any young people who would like to come forward to join me who are not already here to come forward. And as they are coming forward and they're already forward, I have to tell you, I was sitting up here with Demetrius last week and I was looking at these coloring sheets and I suddenly got very envious. So I don't know if the, most of the adults don't know this, but there are new coloring sheets such as sloths for safety. There are also elephants for equality up front. There are also hummingbirds for healthy relationships. And my personal favorite, there are manatees against mansplaining. So, I'm just saying, if you adults think you're having all the fun, there's some serious fun up here because they are communing with the manatees that are against mansplaining up front here. So there are lots of, there's also octopi against oppression. It just goes on and on. There's so much goodness up front here. Well, this morning, what I'm going to be talking to the adults about is building. Building, kind of the way you build with blocks. How many of you like to build with blocks or mag formers or all of those? They're like fancy building things now. Yeah, Demetrius and I like to build with these funny little, I don't even know what they, kind of make little pyramid kind of shapey thingies. I don't even know what they're called. But I was realizing as we were building this week that what when we build with blocks is very similar to what we build here every Sunday. That we build a community kind of in the same sort of way. We take a little bit of your goofiness and a little bit of my lovingness and a little bit of your crankiness even sometimes, some days, and a little bit of this, and we put it all together and we try to build this thing that's called community. It's kind of a fun, big, broad, kind of vague word. But what do you think the word community means? They're having so much fun with these coloring sheets, they're not even really listening to me. Elephants, elephants for equality are so much more fun. I get that. So Kiana, what's community?
Community is like one place. Like a community is like a little town.
Community, she said, is like, it's like a little place. It's like a town. You know, we had this municipal election thing yesterday. It was people trying to say, this is what I want for my community. These are the people that I hope will lead us in a direction that will help build community. And I was realizing that we build this thing called community because we hope and we know that the more that we're connected to each other, the better our lives are. And as much as we love our families, we love to be connected to even more people so that we can figure out what it means to be in good community with you and with you and you with you and with you and with manatees and octopi. So I wanted to share all of that with you. You guys are so into your thing. This is the only problem with manatees against mansplaining, is it's so exciting that, you know, other things are not as interesting. So we're going to send you off to your classes while you continue to explore what it might mean for you to be part of a community and for us, to all of us, to think about what it means to be part of a community together. Can we say our words of prayer together before you leave? Let's take a deep breath together. Spirit of life and of love, help us to remember that we are better together. Sometimes we go it alone and we try to figure things all out by ourselves, but we are so much better, so much stronger when we have all of our friends and our family with us and when we learn how to live together in peace. For all of the people that love us and that we are connected to, we give thanks and offer our words of prayer this morning. Blessed be, and amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. So I invite the adults to rise in body or spirit to form the arches as we sing our young people on the way to their classes.
Like to grab your hymnals and stand back up again. We wanted to sing with you hymn number 53. It's not in the order of service, but it is in your hymnal. I walk the unfrequented road. Please rise as you are willing and able with hymn 53. like to extend an especially warm welcome to all of our visitors, newcomers, and those back after a long absence. If you feel comfortable doing so, we invite you to stand and introduce yourself. Please wait for Farrell to bring you a microphone so that we can hear your name. Of course, if you'd rather not introduce yourself, that is fine. Know that the time to do so is when it feels right to you. Do we have any visitors today?
Hello, my name is Eduardo, I'm from Brazil, and my first time here.
Welcome, Eduardo.
Hi, my name is Royce, and I'm new to this church here for the first time. I've been in Victoria for about 3 years now, but I've never been this side of town much. So yeah, I'm very excited. Thanks.
Welcome, Royce.
Did you want to talk?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Alicia, and this is my first time too.
Welcome.
Hi, I just wanted to introduce my mother, Leslie, who's down all the way from Cobble Hill for a couple of days. This is her first Unitarian service, and just goes to show that 97 is not too late to try something new.
Welcome.
Hello, my name is Brenda. I'm from Mexico. This is my second time here. I feel super excited with my friend Eduardo and Renate. She invites us all the time at this amazing place, and I feel excited that I am here. Thank you.
Welcome.
Hello, my name's Robin, and I come a couple times a year, 2 to 3 times a year, because my mom and dad live here, Hugo and Honey. Hugo Settler, Honey Funnelcook are my parents.
Welcome, Robin.
I'm Stefan Jacob from Victoria, and came once several years ago, and here again.
Welcome, welcome back. All right. Thank you so much. After the service, please join us for coffee and tea in the Lion Hall, and you heard about the two other events happening as well. If you have any questions or would like more information about our church or to sign up for the newsletter, you can visit the visitor table to my left and your right, and I believe Mariko will be there this morning. Is that right? To help you answer any questions that you have. So moving on, share the plate donations this month will go to the Island Deaf and Hard of Hearing Center. There's a bit of a theme here, you see, with Michelle doing the closed captioning, and Carmana will be here doing signing next week as well. The Island Deaf and Hard of Hearing Center is the only nonprofit agency of its kind on Vancouver Island. What started in 1967 with a group of concerned parents meeting to discuss the educational needs of their deaf children has become a center with locations in both Victoria and Nanaimo that provides everything from interpreting and captioning services to providing refurbished hearing aids for free to low-income folks who need it to help with employment. The center provides leadership, innovation solutions, and services through engaging and educating communities, strengthening families, and fighting isolation. After the offering baskets have passed your row, anyone who feels moved to do so is invited to come to the chalice table at the front to light a candle of hope and remembrance. So that no one has to reach across a flame, please light the candles from the back of the bowls to the front. to honor these acts, let us be in a spirit of mindfulness. The gifts of the congregation will now be most gratefully received. Thank you.
We move now into a time of meditation and prayer. I invite you to have your hymnal open to number 336. I know you hear me say it's one of my favorite hymns in the hymnals, but this is up there. And this hymn is a hymn about the losses we sometimes most keenly feel this time of year in the fall. And before we sing this, I want to say a few words, then invite us into a time of silence, and then have us sing All My Memories of Love, which is the beautiful poem of Anna Akhmatova, Russian poet, set to beautiful, beautiful music. I invite us into this time first by informing you of the death yesterday of Linda Nicholson Brown. With the help of medical assistance in dying, Linda ended her years of struggle with cancer yesterday afternoon. A service will be held to remember Linda on Tuesday, and all of you are invited to be here for that service and to bring food to share as her life is remembered. Now I invite you into a few moments of silence before we sing this hymn to bring into your heart's eye all those that you have lost, that as the hymn says, perhaps now the autumn jars in your heart, in your memories, in your being. As we draw closer to the day of All Saints and All Souls, this is a tender and rich time this fall for remembering all that we have loved, all that we have lost, all that we still carry with us. Let us take a few moments now of silent togetherness. And now let us sing our prayer. We'll have Aaron play the tune through for you once to just soak it in, and then we will sing all three verses together.
there's this saying that building community is like pushing a wheelbarrow full of frogs. Sometimes frogs jump in, sometimes they jump out, and as a result, sometimes there are a lot of frogs, sometimes just a few. But what matters most for the community is that you keep pushing. This metaphor was relayed to me by Peter Scales. Hi, Peter. One of the best Unitarian Universalist wheelbarrow pushers, I know. And that he told me this metaphor was told to him by Mary Bennett when she was executive director of the Canadian Unitarian Council. Peter, that's what that Facebook message was about last week. Okay. It is a little odd and by no means a perfect analogy, but I kind of love it, and it has always stuck with me. Thinking of our community, but others too, even my family. Because building community, especially building deep community with trust and safety and sanctuary, can be like pushing a wheelbarrow. And for much of my life, I've been less of a pusher and more like a frog. As a young person, I was very involved with a youth group at my home church in Calgary. And I hopped in and out, well, you know, mostly out actually, as a young adult. My journey with this church, the most recent round anyhow, started June 2nd, 2013. And I remember that date so clearly because June 1st, 2013 was the day that my husband and I were officially separated and I was living on my own the first night on welfare, two children, aged 3 and 6 months, and unable to afford my first month of rent. In my situation, I knew I needed a wheelbarrow, and I knew where to find one here. And without hesitation, I hopped on in, offering only what I could of myself at the time. Now, obviously, there is no one person pushing our community wheelbarrow. There's so many of us, and every Sunday and in between Sundays, I'm in awe of all the little tasks that get done to keep the lights on, to get the paperwork stamped, the candles stocked. It's a lot of work to that. But this isn't just about being a sturdy container or a reliable physical space. I think it's our reliability on the inside that matters most as a spiritual community. Trusting that here we can find acceptance, willingness, room for mistakes, room for growth and forgiveness. Because I think while we build community, we also unbuild. We unbuild that which does not serve us anymore. If I can stretch this wheelbarrow metaphor a little, the community we build can be sanctuary for us as tadpoles, too. And I don't just mean our children, but tadpoles as in us, the people who require transformation, internal transformation, who can trigger and support transformation and growth in one another. Together, we can build a space that is safe and reliable for people who need something safe to jump into, but also challenging and oriented to growth. We can do this, my friends, when we pledge to push together. The choir will now sing for us, Always There with Athena Livegood on violin.
lots of things at church that just bring tears to your eyes. This morning's reading is an essay that did that for me. It's an essay entitled, Church is What We Create with Each Other, by Aaron O. White. And I'm just going to read you a small excerpt from what is an amazing essay. I invite you to read the whole thing, but this is a tiny piece of an essay that she wrote about her experiences in a small, rural Christian congregation. Aaron White writes, last fall, Norman, an 89-year-old congregant at my rural church, stood to make an announcement. He took his time rising to his feet, leaning on the pew in front of him as he turned to face the congregation. This announcement might not matter to anyone but me, he said, but in the early hours of this morning, my son's wife gave birth to two tiny daughters. His smile was wide. I got the call just before dawn. We all cheered and called out our congratulations. Norman's announcement mattered to all of us. For a long time, Aaron White goes on to say, announcements bothered me. I thought they kept us from what mattered, that they were housekeeping, business best conducted somewhere else. Was now really the time to talk about pancake breakfasts and broadband networks? But I've since come to understand that, yes, actually, now is the time. Because I've learned over many, many years that church isn't about order or quiet or even ritual, so much as it is about showing up for yourself, for God, and for the people around you who need to feel just as you do that the blessings and burdens of being a human are not theirs alone to bear. Aaron White, in the midst of the essay, goes on to tell you that a few weeks after his announcement, Norman dies when he is piloting a plane on the way to his son's house for Thanksgiving. And as she reads the obituary about Norman, she realizes there is much that she didn't know about him. But then she goes on to realize that there is so much that she did. She continues, this is what I did know about Norman. I knew what it felt like to hold his hand, how it was strong and a little papery, warm but never sweaty. I knew that when you hugged him, you had to bend down a little bit, but could feel free to squeeze as tightly as you liked. I knew that his wife had died of cancer, and that every year on her birthday, people from the church set out in canoes across the town pond in what they called a memorial flotilla to paddle and laugh and remember her on the water. She died the year before I met Norman, but I still knew her because of church. When you are part of a church, you accept people's offerings, even the ones you don't necessarily want. One week their announcements will bore you, and the next week they will make you weep, and sometimes it will be the same announcements. And sometimes, during a hymn, they'll start a harmony, and you'll join, and your voices will become a conversation, an expression of love between people who, by many measures, barely know each other at all. Like I said, a beautiful and eloquent essay, and that's just peace. What we can build. So why do we come here? Why do we keep coming here? What motivates you to get up on a perfectly good Sunday morning you could be spending doing something else? Why do you wend your way down West Saanich Road and end up here? And what does it matter that you do? What difference does it make to you, to us, that you show up? I think the primary reason, of course, is connection. Connection to others, connection to our deepest sense of ourselves, connection to our values and our beliefs, connection, quite frankly, to our humanity. It is this gift that church brings each and every time that we show up that has kept me coming back through 17 years of ministry, 17 years of board meetings and committee meetings, 17 years of budgets and disappointments, 17 years of losses and laughter and manatees against mansplaining. In fact, on mornings like this, I sometimes, as I feel the tears coming to my eyes, wonder why other people don't show up. How can they miss out on so much amazing stuff? I'm guessing they just don't know. This place, it seems to me, is a sanctuary in more than name. Not just this beautiful and remarkable physical space in which we meet, which many of you had a part in making possible. But this place is sanctuary in the sense that it is a fertile and open space that allows us to explore tender and deep and meaningful things. A sanctuary is a space that gives us all of the things that Samantha spoke of. It gives us room, literally and figuratively, to move and to try on new things, to find out who we are and who we aren't. A sanctuary gives us challenge. It keeps us striving and looking and growing. It reminds us not to settle for the easy answers, for the comfortable places, when there is more that we could do to welcome more people to the table of love and justice and community. A sanctuary is a place of comfort, a place where we come together to share the losses of our lives, our communal losses, but our individual losses as well, a place where we come to share our fears and our worries, everything that we carry into this space. And yes, as Samantha said, a sanctuary is a place of safety. At least we try to make it one as much as we can. Not safety in the sense of, I can assure you that all will be well, because no one can guarantee you that. But safety in the sense of, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to learn alongside you, here to grow with you, here to ask you hard questions, and here to listen to your answers. friends, we give to this community during the budget campaign because we know, because we actually feel that we have something here that is special, that there is an energy, a spirit to this place that is created when we gather together. It's part of why I love that essay that I shared a bit with you. She describes so evocatively, so beautifully what I feel every week. That there is something that happens when we mix and mingle together that cannot happen any other way or in any other place. We give to this place because what we have here and what we experience here is sadly increasingly rare. This type of space and place is unique. I was just reading the other day that people are now spending something like 11 hours a day staring at screens, for crying out loud. It's hard to build community if you're staring at a screen. We wonder why people have lost the ability to relate, to build friendships and connections, and yet when you look at people at bus stops, when you look at people out and about in the world, most of the time they're looking like this at a screen. If you wanted to look them in the eye, if you wanted to know something about them, you'd have to put the screen away and ask them something. But you can come here every Sunday and you can look in the eyes of the people around you. You can get to know the names of the kids in front of you. You can ask about the losses of those around you. You can create something you can't create anywhere else. What other place invites you to meet the Normans and the manatees and the three-year-olds and the babies and the everybodies?
Mansplainers.
And the mansplainers who mansplain you in the middle of a sermon. Where else can you go? Where else can you do this work of building community, intergenerational, multi-faceted, multi-differences community? A place where you can reflect on the ultimate, what is most meaningful to you, what you hold most dear, and where you can be reminded that those ultimate things can be found in the mundane, everyday occurrences of your life. And where else can you go to create a community where you can come to care for and even love strangers of all ages and across all differences? Where else can you do that? We also give, it seems to me, to the baskets when we attend and pledge an amount for the year because it is an expression of our commitment to what I see as a collaborative project. This is an act of faith, an assertion that we believe this place is worthwhile, worthy of our efforts, our time, our caring. And so no matter the amount you put on your pledge form, whether it's zero or on up, a pledge says, I believe in the promise and the possibility of human community. That is no small matter in this day and age. I believe in the promise and the possibility of human community. Can you say that with me? I believe in the promise and the possibility of human community. We got a world telling us that human beings coming together can't do much of anything. In fact, we've got a world telling us that we can be divided so easily. And there are so few places where we can say, no, we can still be more together than we will ever be apart. Let's believe in that possibility. Yeah, and our friend, she wants to believe in the possibility too. She just doesn't right now. what we can do together, what we can become together, it can't be quantified. And it has value. It has value that you can't put a dollar figure on. And so we give to make its continuation a possibility. This week I kept finding myself with my son singing When the Saints Go Marching In. He's got a new song he's learning in French immersion that's to the tune of When the Saints Go Marching In. So then I had to teach him When the Saints Go Marching In. And I realized that that connects for me in the sense that I want to be in the number of people who still believe that human community matters. As I was sitting there with him, I said, yeah, I want to be in that number. I want to be in your number. And so when we pledge, when we give, we say, I'm in. I want to be in that number that wants to sit in the crying section every Sunday. I want to be in that number that doesn't have a jaded heart. I want to be in that number that still believes in all the people around me and sees them not as threats. When things look bleak, and they often do these days, let's face it, it is often coming here that helps restore my hope. Seeing each of you and bringing to mind what I know of your lives, singing a hymn like All My Memories of Love, the moments of silent contemplation that help me remember what matters most to me and cuts through all that other noise. Coming here serves as a touchstone for my life, as a taproot, if you will, the place to find my center again and to try to live from that more grounded place. Because I don't know about you, but I know that I can't take compassionate action in the world if I have lost sight of the sources of compassion in myself and in my life. I cannot remember that my actions have a ripple effect beyond me to those and beyond even those closest to me unless I am regularly in intentional community. The spiritual practice of coming to church, quite frankly, makes me a better person. And that helps me to contribute more of my best self to the larger world. And so that is my prayer for all of us. May we each find in this sanctuary what we need to emerge as forces for good. May the tears and the smiles and the hugs and the words shared here lead us to make a positive difference, each in our own way. May it always be so. Blessed be, and amen. I invite you now to join in our closing hymn by rising in body or spirit and opening your hymnal to number 6, Just As Long As I Have Breath. to life, yes to truth, yes to love. When you come to church long enough, you sing songs like this, and you get to certain lines, and you remember a time you sang this before, and you thought, did they write that for me? There was a time I went to church years ago, and I got to the line, I must answer yes to love. Disappointment pierced me through. Still I kept on loving you. If they ask what I did best, tell them I said yes to love. And I sang that on a Sunday that I showed up after somebody had broken my heart. Disappointment pierced me through, I sang, with tears dripping down my cheeks next to strangers. And I thought, still I kept on loving you. Will I? Can I? Of course I can. Of course we can. Yes to life. Yes to truth. Yes to hope. And oh yes to love. Now and always. May it be so. Amen.
To sing our farewell song, Here Together. The words are in your order of service.